Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here with us. I want to thank the One Institute for bringing us here each and every Thursday. And remember, you can hear us rebroadcast on Fridays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. We're always available to be downloaded, and you can find an archive of our shows on the LA Talk Radio website on Dr. Pat Allen's page. So tonight, I'm going to open the show with Sue Wagner.
Hello. Sue,
hi, how are you?
Just fine. I come on once a month for everybody that's out there to do a monthly advertisement.
Hey, I hear that you have a couple of spaces in the Life Script class that's coming up in September.
We have numerous classes. We have couples class. We have the Want Training class. We have a Getting to I Do class. The next couple ones are sold out. I have a Life Script class September 16th. It's a Saturday. To the Newport Beach office. I have three openings available. And the Life Script you can also do if you're off location. You can set up for a private Life Script reading.
Now, Sue, you send them out the papers to fill out to do the Life Script.
Yeah, when they set up the appointment, I'll walk them through all the information, because the confusion is people contact me and want these questionnaires, but they're not going to make any sense unless you have the full appointment. So when they
how long does that last? How long is a Life Script appointment,
It takes 1 hour to do the Life Script reading, but
that's a minimum.
I book 1 hour. Cannot condense it into 15 minutes. It's a 1 hour session. And private appointments, Dr. Allen can do 15 minute increments. You're welcome to contact me, and I can send you information on private appointments at info@ drpatallen.com. That's just DrPatAllen. I'm happy to give you any kind of information if you want prices, availability, and information about the classes.
And they can reach out to you to find out about 15-minute phone appointments or
just phone appointments. At drpatallen.com.
So if they wanted to sign up for the class, Sue, where would they go?
The same. They can either contact me and get information, or our website is wantistore.com.
And they can sign up right online.
They can go on. If the class is available, it will say register. Some of the classes say sold out. Sold out classes, I have a list for waiting list to call me. Every so often, one person may cancel, and I take a list, so that the people that want to get in have an opportunity to be on my waiting list. I can call them if need be the last minute as well.
Okay, so September's the end of our third quarter, so we have a fourth quarter coming up. Do we have any surprises that you can give us a little sneak peek at?
All of the classes are available till the end of October into November. The class is available.
Okay.
So many, to go over them right now is, nobody will remember. It's better to go on the website so you can see the details, the description, what's available, what's not, and what would best suit what you're looking for.
So do we still have a special on our merchandise?
We are still continuing the Want Relationship Seminars. That is probably about 5 hours. It comes in the CD disc. It's got like 10 discs, so it's got about 5 to 6 hours of the Monday night shows, past ones from years ago, that have been edited and categorized into format as to the topics. So people, I know that everybody listens to the iTunes podcast, and those are kind of like random, come and go, same topics. If you want to get all the information categorized, cleaned up, best specified as to topics, you can purchase that for $19.95. It's an automatic download by going on to the Want iStore.
Now, when does that end?
It will end September 1st. We'll take it off. And then we may have another product up and available. We haven't decided that yet. But if you want to be on our newsletter, go to drpatallen.com, sign up for our newsletter. And if you've not received our newsletters and you have signed up, you may not have opened up your link.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
Yeah, so you have to register, and then when you get the receiving link, you have to click it on so that it opens it up that you'll receive the newsletter. Some people, they signed up, but they don't follow through with the opt-in link.
Oh, and then they won't get the newsletter. That'll be terrible.
Yeah. 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 So that's one thing. So with that, I'll let you have Dr. Pat Allen here.
All right. Thank you.
All righty. Bye.
Bye.
Hello.
Hello, Dr. Allen. How are you tonight?
I'm just fine. I am just ready to go.
Are you excited about the class you have coming up? September's
yes,
classes.
Very much so. Very much so.
And the couples class? The couples classes Saturday?
Yes, Saturday.
But that one's... That one's full, so anybody interested is going to have to look for our live script class, which is fabulous, coming up in September.
Yes.
Awesome. So we already have calls, and we've talked a little bit already. Shall we go ahead and take some calls?
Yes, please do.
All right. Great. Let me tell our wonderful Ronan at the switchboard that we are ready for calls.
Hello.
Here we go. He's asking me a question. Okay, so looks like he's working on that switchboard in the meantime. Let me see here what we have. We have a question while our fella is working on our board from one of our people out there in the World Wide Web universe. And it says... What can you do when you've tried to negotiate with your significant other and they continuously give you a reason why something won't work?
They don't want you.
Wow. What does that mean, Dr. Allen? They don't want you. They don't want to negotiate.
They're not willing to make an agreement, and they won't keep it if they make it anyway. They're passive aggressive. I love that book, Living with a Passive Aggressive Man by Scott Wetzler. And remember, men carry their maleness on the outside and their female on the inside, the anima, and women carry their female on the outside and their male on the inside. So when I say male, it can be either a female male or a male male. We're all both.
Right. She's saying, hello. Okay, looks like we're having a little technical trouble. But we'll see if we can get things fixed. In the meantime, I want to remind you guys that the One Institute brings us here. And they bring us here, and then LA
hello.
Talk Radio. Hi, you're back. I lost you for a minute. Okay, what they were saying in their following up here in this message to me, and it, she's saying that he'll talk, but what he said, he has an excuse for everything. We can't do this because of that.
I understand that. There's four signs of a loser in negotiating. Evasiveness.
Okay.
They don't give you a straight answer.
Uh-huh.
The second one is you've got to mind read them. They are secretive. You can't ask them anything. They won't give you an answer. The third loser technique is condescension. Well, and then the fourth one is abruptness. Shut up. Quit talking. I'm leaving.
So
when you're dealing with the loser, they only know how to play games. They don't know how to negotiate. They know how to intimidate you, and they know how to seduce you, but they don't know how to love you.
I see.
And they've been scripted that way by mommy and daddy and church and culture and neighbor and babysitter and whatever.
So that relates back to the life script class.
To what?
Your life script class.
Absolutely. It doesn't refer back to the class, but that's what we do. In the book by Claude Steiner, scripts people live. Don't be, don't feel, don't think, don't share. Those are the negative ways of living. If you want to really be alive, you have got to want your body to stay alive. You've got to feel your own feelings and not sedate them. You have to think your own thoughts, and you have to share those with other human beings.
Often in our lives, we are impeded from doing that because of our past experiences.
That's right, but those experiences are generally when we're not protected by the people that are raising us. They're telling us it's our fault. We should be perfect, try harder, hurry up, please others, and be strong. Don't need help.
Interesting.
Really
well,
sad.
It looks like our switchboard is trying to get a call in for us.
That's good.
I'm not quite sure. He's telling me he's having a little bit of technical difficulty with the board, but that's okay. We'll keep talking about, you often say that when you do that life script class, you really get a clear picture of what's holding you back.
You get a clear picture of, first of all, who did it? And what was their message that you bought because you were little and didn't know any better? And what I share with you, for example, in the last script class, a woman found out that her nanny was a better mother to her than her mother. And one woman found out that her father was really her mother.
Yes, I got that.
So you find out those nasty secrets.
And then how do we move forward from that, Dr. Allen?
First of all, recognition. And once you recognize what's going on, then I teach you my semantic realignment, which is want training, on how to talk. How to talk to the person, how to talk to yourself. Beware of your thoughts, for they become words. Beware of your words, they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character. Beware of your character, it becomes your destiny. At the doctor's office, at the bank making money, and in every relationship, especially the sexual ones.
So then we'll go ahead and take phone calls. Hi, caller on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi. So a man has been dating me for 2 months, and in that time, he was courting me, paying for dates and all of that. About a month in, he had asked me to contribute to one of the dates, and I used what you have in Getting to I Do, where you say you don't feel comfortable and you respond sexually, the whole thing that you have written in there. He said, fine. He would continue to pay for the dates as long as we were dating until we get into an exclusive relationship. Now we're in an exclusive relationship, and he wants me to contribute to the cost of our date.
He wants a convenient relationship.
Yes, exactly.
There's nothing wrong with the convenient. You either do dollar for dollar or you do percentage. For example, if he makes twice as much money, he puts in twice as much money.
Okay, because he makes more money than me, but he doesn't make... he's a teacher, and yeah, he doesn't make a lot. I don't make a lot.
What I'm saying is he wants a convenient relationship in which you share chores and you share money responsibilities for the relationship. That's type one. Type two is codependent. That's where one person pays not only for themselves, but they pay for the other person too, even though it's reluctant. The third type of relationship is a covenant, still legal in Louisiana, and that's where one person signs a government contract that they will pay the bills for that relationship in marriage, and the other person signs a contract that they will not work outside of the home seriously and will be the homemaker. So those are the three choices.
I also want to say,
on July 23rd, New York Times newspaper has a big article about, so you're in love, sign on the dotted line, which means we not only can do a legal government contract for marriage, we can mate with no contract at all, or we can make an agreement on the boundaries. This is one that I do regularly in my office, where you make a contract of time, space, money, and play in order to know what's expected from you and to you. So that's what he's wanting.
So
are you uncomfortable?
I have a question about that.
Ask me.
You know, in the Getting to Where I Do book, you know, you talk about that negotiating time, space, money, play, and it looks like that's something you do in the negotiation period. Is that something that you do, you know, when you're getting closer to engagement and you're going to be combining finances? Is it still something you do this early on in dating to start contributing?
Convenient relationship can start as soon as he says, I want you to stop dating other men. I want you to be exclusively dating me. And then if you say yes, then he may say, okay, I can see you every other week. I can, you know, you can come and visit me. Or, and I want to put in $1 on a credit card so that we share the responsibilities of our dates and our movies and whatever else. But it doesn't start until you're in a monogamous, continuous, long-term relationship.
Yeah.
In dating, whoever asks whoever out pays for whatever. And that means women to men and men to women, or men to men or women to women.
Okay.
But once you're in a committed relationship, you've got three choices, four choices. Convenient, codependent, covenant, and contractually negotiated. What's your preference, darling?
My preference, you know, ideally it was to be in a covenant, and I'm not, this man that I have attracted into my life right now, and is amazing and wonderful, he is, I guess he doesn't seem to have the financial means to be able to do a covenant if we were to get married and have a child. So it looks like it would be convenient.
So is he compatible with your ideal for a relationship called marriage?
Yeah, for marriage, yeah. For having a child, I don't know. I guess we would both have to be working. And
well, you want a child with the marriage.
Yes, neither of us have children, but we both would want to have a child. I think.
Well, if he doesn't have the money, are you willing to cough up the money?
If we're both contributing.
51% valuable enough for you to be the breadwinner.
Oh, he's 51% or more valuable if we're in a convenience where we're both contributing money, not where I'm the breadwinner. I can't see how that would happen.
All right, so apparently you're incompatible. Do you agree?
Well, I guess from what you're saying, it would be that I would need to make a decision for myself that if I want to be in a convenient relationship with this man and one that could be headed towards marriage and having a child, then we both need to be willing to put, we would need to negotiate the money part of how much are we putting in and how would
You've
we
got
spread
it.
This household if we, okay.
I don't think we're incompatible. Nothing wrong with that. What?
Okay. I don't think we're incompatible. I guess I just need to wrap my head around the idea that I wanted was a covenant, but that's not what I'm in right now. So
I understand that. Living in America is rather difficult. Costs a lot of money.
Right.
So men do not think that people with penises are automatically breadwinners.
Right.
There's a good movie out there with Robert De Niro called The Intern, and it's about Robert counseling, coaching a nice lady who owns a factory, and her husband is raising the kids.
Mm-hmm.
We have many choices.
Yes.
Thanks, caller.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Okay. Good luck.
All right, we have another call coming in.
Good, good, good.
Let's see. Switchboard seems to be working again. That's nice. Hold on. Here we go.
Good.
Hello.
Hi, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. You have a question.
Hi, thank you. Yeah, hi, Dr. Allen.
Hello there.
Hi, I have a question about it. I have a 21-year-old son who's kind of struggling, and I want to parent him in a way that helps him become the man that I hope
he
can be.
Very good, very good.
So, he had some issues with learning and depression in school, anxiety, ADHD, dyslexia, but he made it through school, high school, okay, and in college...
Wonderful.
Yeah. And in college, it's a lot harder, and he's struggling. And he has been getting D's. He's gotten some A's and B's and some D's and F's. So he basically is done with his second year, and he has about the credit for, like, 1 year. So it seems like every semester we try to help him, you know, get ready, and he gets excited at the beginning, and then he kind of lacks self-discipline. And my husband is a super really good guy, but he has Asperger's, and he is a little bit older now, and I feel like he's a little bit more passive. And so on one hand, I'm stuck parenting this. He's 21, so he's an adult, but he still is not ready
but
to launch.
Still, the teenage brain is not quite built until about 24. So mm-hmm. he might go to work and get some money together and go back to school.
Mm-hmm. You're saying he needs to get
the nervous system to maturate, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm trying to follow your advice and just approach him, like, I'm, you know, ask him for an appointment. You know, I said, you know, how can I help you? And
have you had him professionally evaluated for capabilities?
Well, I mean, yeah, and he has above average IQ. He has some ADHD, so he technically could get accommodations at college, but he doesn't want to do that. We went and visited the center, and they, you know, they use the word disability, and he got kind of freaked out. But he's not studying enough.
Well, I understand that, but do you understand when you are listed as disabled, you get more time to take your tests? There are much more lax with the rules and regulations. So what you're talking about is a human being that has some disabilities that wants to pretend that he's normal. And by pretending he's normal, he's setting up more failure situations that will bomb his personality. So you have an ego problem.
So how would you recommend me approaching him about, getting some accommodations, which would require that
accommodations?
Label? Well, he's previously been evaluated at Daniel Amen Clinic, so he does have ADHD and dyslexia, dysgraphia.
Well, then,
so,
is he doing what the Daniel Amen Clinic is suggesting that he does?
Well, but this was back in seventh grade because he was having, like, tantruming and depression,
well,
and so they put
minute.
Us on a...
Just because he's 21 doesn't mean he's outgrown seventh grade.
I don't think.
He needs a special program that will helpfully override his disability. We all have disabilities, one way or the other, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, whatever. I'm afraid your son is a little egotistical in thinking that he's created perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay.
It's really something. The way to live the longest, healthiest life is find out what's wrong with your system and take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
He's
okay.
denying his disability.
Yeah, and I'm trying to respect his wishes. So, like I said, we went to the disability office last year, and he was very resistant to it. I think he's a little more open because he tried really, really hard in an algebra class and got a D.
Take him, you know what? Take him back then. If he's becoming teachable, take him back, and don't you forget the following thing. that from 14 to about 24, teenagers are low in dopamine because nature wants them out of the house. Read Dan Siegel's book, Brainstorms.
Okay.
Teenagers mature better if they stay stable up until 24, 25. Their brains are then more matured and, like I said, more stable. So if he's teachable this year, take him back.
Okay.
I'm gonna have to agree. My daughter is dyslexic. She just turned 30. And in her early 20s, I actually talked to Dr. Allen about this personally, because she was really having a very difficult time, and she also didn't want to be labeled as broken. And then I actually got some pointers that Dr. Allen just gave to you on how to just say, you know, it's a label that you don't, it doesn't have to define you. You define yourself. So, you know, I mean, it could be a challenge. You could just say, you know, it's not really it's a challenge that you have to overcome, and they're willing to help you overcome it. It worked for my daughter, who's 30. She's now going brilliantly through college and is well on her way to addiction counseling.
Okay. That's good to know.
Right.
That's very helpful. Brainstorm. Good. I'll get that too.
Brainstorm.
Okay. All right. Well, this is good. I was feeling like he's so old and he should be on his way, but
he's not reached his peak. Peak as a young person is like 24 to 26.
Okay. I love you, Dr. Allen. I listen to you. You make me laugh so hard. I just love your passion and what you do. And I thank you. It's really nice to talk to you personally. So I really appreciate your help.
Thank you for saying so, and I'm having fun.
I love that about you. Okay, take care.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank
bye-bye.
You, caller.
Okay, bye-bye.
You know, it's true, Dr. Allen, and I know you remember my daughter, Taylor. She's doing so well now, but she struggled for a while, and you were a great inspiration for her, which is why she decided to go into addiction counseling.
Good.
So she's doing really well, and I attribute a lot of that to your guidance on that.
Excellent.
And we've got another call coming in.
Good. Good.
Hey,
let's see how many we can get.
Caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Oh, yes, great. Thank you for taking my call. I want to know, I'm calling because I am recently started dating again, and I've been beauty dating and getting out there and meeting people. And, I always remember Dr. Allen saying that we don't know, or the only way we know we love ourselves is by the commitments that we keep, that we make and keep. And I guess what I'm coming to terms with today, like there's some things in my life, for example, I want to get debt free. And I feel like that's kind of a burden that I've been holding. And so I'm wondering, maybe I'm answering my own question, is like kind of, I need to feel like I'm making progress in that area. Like, I feel like I don't feel as confident carrying that kind of burden, so to speak.
What is your burden? What burden are you giving people?
I just feel like not having my finances in order makes me feel a little bit unstable.
Are you a spendthrift? Do you waste your money?
Yes.
What do you do that for?
Maybe it's a bit of like a coping skill or something, or coping mechanism.
Do you like trauma in your life? Do you like chaos? Are you a norepinephrine addict?
I think so. I actually talked with you at one point, and we discussed this a bit. I'm sober 6 years, but I notice I still have these patterns of creating problems.
Okay, so you like the dopamine upper of a good war, and you do it around the issue of money. Some people do it around the issue of sex. Other people do it around the issue of religion or politics. My God, people are going cuckoo over politics.
Yeah, that's my dad.
You like to be in pain.
Right. How do I break that?
By systematically having pleasant, anxiety-free days until you like it. See, life may feel more exciting to you when it's chaotic, when it's disturbed, and so you sabotage.
Right.
Have you read Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers by Robert Sapolsky?
What's it called again?
Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers by Robert Sapolsky. He's teaching at Stanford, and he's very special in the area of anxiety. I'm hearing that you play negatively with money, get yourself into anxiety, and maybe you even enjoy it.
Right.
Oh, have you thought of desensitizing?
I would love to do that. I noticed the pattern too. Like, I started working out with a trainer 6 weeks ago, and every night I'm getting French fries, and I feel horrible when I do it.
So you're sabotaging.
Right.
Well, enjoy the pain. You have my permission to call this show and tell us how much pain you've enjoyed this week.
Yeah.
Is that really a goal of yours?
What was that?
Do you want the pleasure of pain as your goal?
No, my goal is to break the pattern.
How about you do a week of painful pleasure? You know what that is? Boringly calm, predictable, usable, economical. Would you like to do a week of pleasure?
Say that again. I'm having a little trouble hearing you.
Okay. Do you want to be disciplined and go for pleasure by not causing financial chaos with money for this week, between now and next Thursday?
Yes.
Well, then let's see if you can do. Today, from now on, have you already caused the trouble saying today?
Yes.
What did you do? Confess.
I went and I spent $70 on lunch when that wasn't a good idea.
Okay. So shall we start tomorrow?
Yes.
The way out of any negative feeling is a positive decision followed by action or inaction as soon as possible. Are you willing to live a pleasure-centered, stable, maybe boring life for 1 week?
Yes.
Then report back next Thursday, one way or the other. Either confess it or brag about it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pat.
Thank you, caller.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, Dr. Allen, what will happen after a week?
She will notice herself doing things that will beget pain.
Interesting. Here we get a caller.
They don't think of being addicted to the chemistry that we produce. Norepinephrine is nor fun. No, in England, it's called noradrenaline. And Robert Sapolsky specializes in lecturing on it. You can listen to him on YouTube. But
awesome. We have a caller on the line.
Okay.
Caller, you're on with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Oh, wonderful. Hi, my name is Tanya. Dr. Allen, thank you so much. I just started learning your work. I've read most of your book, Getting to I Do. I'm looking to implement it. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Great. So I'm looking to implement. I've been kind of in a masculine mode without realizing it, and I definitely don't want to remain there, especially not in relationships. And I met someone over a year ago that I really fell for hard. I still have feelings, and I was kind of in a masculine mode, I realize now, with him.
And I'm the egg, or were you the egg or the sperm a year ago?
Well, I think I started out as the egg, and then as soon as he pulled away, I became the sperm, if that makes sense.
All right. So what are you today, an egg or a sperm?
I'm trying to revert to the egg, and I've basically stopped the initiating contact. I'm waiting now the 8 weeks. I'm about 2 weeks into that, and it's been going well because... Yeah, but I never was able to really communicate. Like, I'm not sure if we've never had a real conversation about, there's been a lot of, you know, interest in sort of some flirting and maybe some innuendo, but no actual anything. And I'd really like to sort of either see if that's possible without being the masculine, or just, do I just let him eventually, hopefully step up? At this point,
that's the only way I know. I mean, do you work near him? Do you have any excuse to be near him?
I used to have more. Now I have to kind of, and I used to have a lot more. So I sort of have some work in common, and an organization in common that I've been less involved with. So
is he now in the organization?
Yeah, that's how I met him.
Then why aren't you in the organization?
Yeah, well, I was, and then I've started having some issues with it, and also related to him, the frustration of not being able to know how to communicate with him.
What I'm saying is, can you go to that organization's meeting and not chase him?
Yes, I could in theory, yeah.
Why don't you?
Well, lately I've not been involved as much, but, and he, not at the same time when he's there, I'd have to really make a point. It almost feels like you'd be chasing him to show up when he would be there. It would kind of feel like that.
Only if you would approach him and speak to him and ask him out.
Oh, so if I just show up without approaching him, I'm not chasing him. But okay, that's good to know.
That would be presenting yourself for his chasing you. Remember, you've molded him into an egg. And so now
you have to mold him
back into a sperm.
Okay.
And the way do it is to present yourself without action, without chasing, passive, patient, and vulnerable to his leadership. Do not lead him.
All right, that's helpful. And what if I do have, we've done some work together. I won't go into the detail of it, just the fact that we've had work together. And there is some, and there's some things that actually technically I would like to be able to communicate with him. Would that be chasing him if I reach out and initiate something regarding that work?
If it's genuine business, is it genuine or are you creating
it? Yeah. No, it is genuine, but I've been avoiding it because I feel like I've been chasing so much. So
I understand that, but this chasing would be different.
So, sorry, can you say that again?
This chasing would not be chasing. It would be doing business.
Okay. So I could initiate contact regarding this business, and it would not be chasing because it's just strictly business, is what you're saying.
That's exactly right.
Okay. And then if I show up at a... That it's only for the business of it. Okay. Okay.
All right. Do not.
Yeah, I think I was
into some social sexual arena.
And you're saying, sorry, say business. That again.
Stay business. Okay. Business-like.
Okay. Got you. Okay. And then if I show up at an event, I don't initiate a social contact or let him initiate.
Walk up to him. If you see him eye to eye across the room, you wave. We don't reject him, but we don't seduce it. We don't chase him.
Okay. I just wave. I'm friendly, smile maybe, but
that's
it.
Right.
Okay.
That's right.
Oh, very helpful. All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Extremely helpful. Love. Yeah.
Thank you, caller.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Awesome. See what our switchboard is telling me here. And they're saying we have another call coming in. Awesome.
Good.
Okay. Let's get that hooked in.
How are you, Kelly?
I am excellent. I am really doing well.
Good. Excellent.
I feel I've been...
Has your new grandson graduated from college yet?
Are you kidding me? He's practically a doctor in a year and a half. He's a genius, I tell you.
Okay.
An absolute genius. He really
has been
actually...
forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Callers, I want to remind you. Oh, there's my caller. Hi, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do.
What is it?
My name is Michelle, and
hi, Michelle.
I'm engaged, and my fiance isn't allowing me any eye time. And
what do you mean? He's with you 24/7.
No, other than work, when we're both home after a day of work, he just wants me to be completely available and to be a we, which I make myself available 5 to 6 nights a week. And one night a week, we've talked about maybe me taking a class, going out with a girlfriend for dinner, and he's agreed to that. However, when that happens and I bring it up and ask him about what he thinks, maybe the following day that I'd like to make plans and do something, then he gets upset.
Am I hearing you correctly? You ask him what he thinks about you going off doing what you both contracted that you could do?
Well, five to six nights a week, I'm available, and we are together. And
I know that, but on your night off, did I hear you correctly say the next day you asked him what he thinks about what you did? Is that true? Did you say
no,
that?
No, not what I did. I will say I'd like to attend this class on Thursday, and it might be Tuesday night.
Wait a minute. Do you or don't you have a negotiated night out with the girls, with the class, with the church, with the gym, whatever?
Yes, I thought we had. And then when I bring it up and say...
Did you say, I want one evening to be in my eye time with my girlfriends, my this, my that? What do you think about that? Did you do that?
Yes, I did, and he agreed to that. So
we do it, no matter whether he pouts, does what he does? Please do not cherish his feelings about him breaking his agreement.
Okay.
Just do it.
My question to you.
Does he get a night out, too?
I always support and encourage him. If he wants to do something, I'm okay with it. I understand that.
But he's possessive about you, but you pay attention to it.
Well, is it a red flag if he gets upset and starts yelling and name-calling?
It's a red flag that he's got a woman that's his mother cherishing his itty-bitty owies. You have an agreement with him, and yes, he's pouting and bitching and moaning. Who cares? As long as he doesn't leave marks on your body, I don't care if he bitches, moans, and pouts.
Okay.
Keep your agreement, or he will get worse and worse and worse.
Okay, thank you.
Are you going to do your one night out or not?
Yes, I am.
And
in
when
fact, it's
says,
later this
what
evening.
Does he say? What does he say to you when he sees you after you've disappointed him?
He makes snide remarks.
Ignore them. Pretend they're farts.
Okay.
Something we all would like to ignore, definitely.
What?
She was saying he calls her names. What kind of names does he call you?
Yes.
Well, this evening, for instance, I had let him know that there was a class that I wanted to attend, and earlier in the day, because I've had this happened before where I've asked him about it a couple days before and then he gets upset. So this time earlier today we agreed that we would spend time together tonight, which the class doesn't start until 7:30. So I let him know that there was a class that I wanted to attend and I would be more than happy to have dinner and spend time together. And I
what did he
needed
say?
His support and encouragement to
no,
go
you
to
don't
his
need
class.
His support. No, no.
Okay.
You do not need his support. You just don't need his abuse.
Exactly.
What did he say to you?
He said. He started yelling and calling me a liar and said, you know, you told me we were going to spend time tonight. And I said, we are. We can have dinner. The class is an hour and a half. I'll be home at 9 o'clock and we can spend a nice evening together. I said, it's really important to me that I attend this class.
And
that's when I said, I really, you know, need your support and encouragement.
No, you don't need his support and encouragement. You need him not to block the door.
So anyway, so after that happened, he got mad and just called me a liar and hung up on me.
Fine. Then did you go to your class?
No, it doesn't start until later this evening.
And you're going to go, right?
Yes, I am.
So go. I want you to agree that unless you have to call the police, a doctor, or a lawyer, you are going to keep your commitments that you negotiated so that you don't end up hating him.
Okay. And we're supposed to go on vacation tomorrow, and I'm feeling resentful, and I'm almost tempted just to say, you know, go by yourself.
Darling, that's called termination. I would rather you went and had a good time with him. And when he has a attack of infancy, that you don't argue with him.
Okay.
I like it that you got the contract for one night a week off by yourself with somebody, kids, girls, whatever. And I want you to ignore anything that isn't illegal, immoral, or unethical. Do you understand what that means?
I do. It's challenging for me to be the recipient of that kind of tone instead of talking to me, yelling.
Darling, we are not all mature people. Stop mothering him. Make and keep agreements and don't mother him.
Okay.
Okay? He'll catch on.
Okay. I'll do what you say.
Go to class and enjoy it. Don't bring it up to him. He has a right to be upset. He has a right to be immature in areas. He has a right to be who he is. But I want you not to enable him by reacting seriously.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Good luck, Colin.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. That's interesting. An interesting one. Yeah, I understand that. I've dated one before that was the same way, immature-wise. So we got a little extra time tonight. That's why we didn't cut off that call. But we are out of time now. So, Dr. Allen, what do you have to say before we go?
The only way out of a negative feeling is a positive decision. What do I want? What do I not want? Followed by action or inaction as soon as possible.
Beautiful. I love that. What is one of my favorites? Everybody, we love you. Follow us on Facebook. Sign up for the newsletter. You'll be glad that you did. Find that at www.drpatallen.com. Also, you can find our classes and our merchandise, Dr. Allen's books and other things, CDs, DVDs, and downloadables at oneistore.com. We love you, and we'll be back next Thursday. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.